Well, I am loving all the babies and enjoying this so much so that I felt like I needed to share as well. So wanted to show off my girls when they were little. this here is Samuel, and the cutest of all. It only went downhill for me after this. This is me when I was little. no, but there really is, I love the timing of this and how this worked out. Because one of the everyday encounters I wanted to talk about is just the everyday relationships that we have. I remember thinking as I was growing that as a minister, how much I felt like a failure, that I wasn't reaching out enough, that I wasn't speaking truth and the word of Jesus into the teens and the people around me. And I remember one night holding my children when they were little, and being reminded that God had put four little ones in my life that I was in charge of, that I was speaking into daily. And so I'm glad that we take this time to let our parents commit to that, to let them know that we see them and that we're here for them just as much. This is a verse that I've always loved using for parents. This comes from Deuteronomy. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols to your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. I love that God, when he gives these commandments to the Israelites, is to tell the parents that when you're with your children, no matter where you are, whether it's walking, laying down, sitting, that these relationships that God has given us, we're called to speak life into them. And so no matter where we are, that we can always be having these conversations with the kids, the parents, the grandparents, the aunts, the uncles, that no matter who makes up our family, we can be having these conversations. And they don't have to be these long, drawn out, let me tell you about Jesus. It can be something as simple and short as, hey, did you see that moment and how God acted? What did y'all think of service? What did you talk about in class? Hey, what's your favorite Bible story this week? But I want you to know why this is so important, why it's so important that our generation make sure the next generation know the Lord. It's because it comes from Judges. 2:10 says, after that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. I don't know if you know anything about the book of Judges, but it only goes downhill from that moment on. Like, you get some nice couple stories of some judges to begin with, and then by the time you get to the end of Judges, it's heartache and gruesome. And it ends with the line, everyone did what they each felt was right because they had no king. They had no one to tell them what to do, no one to give them direction. And that's what happens when we don't take the time to teach our students, to teach our kids who God is. And it only takes one generation. It only takes one of us to say, you know what, they know enough. They get it at school. They'll get it at Bible school. No, it needs to be at the home every day, like it says, walking, sleeping, sitting, talking, letting our lives shine to them. I love how the writer of Psalms, David, writes this psalm talking about the same idea, but he goes out of his way to make sure that we understand he's not talking just to the parents when he says this. He starts off by saying, my people. He's talking to all of Israel when he says this. My people, hear my teachings. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born. And they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. Let me explain this. The reason I love church is the same reason I have loved the last month and a half getting to know McKnight Crossings. You are a church that surrounds its people and loves them. You want to have conversations. You want to accept everyone from the smallest to the biggest, to the oldest to the youngest. And I have loved getting to experience that. More than anything, I've loved seeing how that plays out with my own kids. How many of you have already come up to make sure you know my kids' names, to try and tell the twins apart, which is a daunting task? I love that you are already feeding into my children. I love that we have a church that sees itself as a community, a tribe that is raising these kids together, not just asking the parents to do it on their own time. One of the best illustrations I've ever seen done, if you don't know what this is called the 5-to-1 ratio. It's something that I learned in youth ministry, but it's something that I always talked about to as many people as I could talk about because of how important this is. What this idea is just, we all worry about the next generation and them walking away from their faith. And one of the best stats that they've ever found for keeping a teenager in the faith is this right here. It's this idea that every student, every kid needs 5 faith influencers in their life. And there's the thought that they say is one can be a parent, one can be the youth minister. That means there are 3 other adult influences they need in their life for them to stay in the faith. And sure, a grandparent might take a place, maybe a Bible teacher, but you understand the importance. Trying to fill those 3 means each and every one of us in this room has a part to play. And let me show you how powerful this is and why this is important by calling up Evie. So Evie, if you will come on up. Where'd she go? She's over here now. And Rosaline and Nora, you can come up too. All right, Evie, I want you to stand right here. And then your friends can stand here. All right. I told her she didn't have to speak at all, so I promise that. So, Evie, your only job is like anything else. We want our teenagers to be rooted in the Word, to stay firm in God, to stay right there. Can I have your hand? All right, so stay right there. No, you're missing. Yeah, you got to stay right here, yeah. All right, right hand. So, see, here's the problem. When we try to do it on our own, Satan comes along, and sometimes it's as simple as just saying, hey, take my hand, and we start walking this way. And it's when we try to fight it on our own, you can go back to your spot now. When we try to fight it on our own, it doesn't go well. But we also have friends that have not jumped in yet to maybe help. So that when I grab her, okay, there we go. We got a little bit more fight going on. I don't want to pull too hard and hurt Evie, but here's the thing, and I ask her parents to come up now, and some others that mentioned that they might come up, Nathan. Here's what this really should look like, if y'all would surround her. The idea is that when Satan comes for Evie, he's already having this problem. Thank you so much. Y'all can be seated. How much greater would that have been if I had said anyone who's had a conversation with Evie come up on stage? That's why I love having our parents and the babies in the middle surrounding them. Because that's what we're agreeing to. We are agreeing that we will stand firm for not just one family, but all these families. That we are going to be in prayer and encouragement, whether it's bringing meals or simply saying a prayer every day for them, that God keep them away from Satan. because we understand how hard it is, and we want the next generation to be stronger than us. And the truth is, we really need that for all of us, right? This isn't just for our kids. Each and every one of us needs this. It's one of those things, have you ever heard of this phrase, everyone needs a Paul, Timothy, and a Barnabas? Everyone needs a Paul. What that means is everyone needs a mentor. If you think of Paul and Timothy, Timothy came along Paul took him under his wing. Every single one of us, no matter how old we are, need someone in our lives that is speaking into us how to grow, how to mature in Christianity. If you're 30, hey, grab someone who's 40, 50, 60. If you're 60, hey, there's someone older that can help you along. But even if you are the oldest person in the room, there is somebody out there who is loving better than you are, who has more wisdom, that you can come alongside and say, hey, I love how you do this. Will you show me how you do this? Maybe it's going as far as saying, I want a better marriage. I want a marriage like they have. And having the courage to go to them and say, hey, could you spend some time with me and my spouse and show us how you do it? How you make it 38 years of marriage? How you survived the kids and the crisis? Having someone that can show you how they've gotten through it before. Everyone else needs a mentee, a Timothy. You need to also be speaking life into someone else. In the same way someone speaks life into you, you need to be finding someone, whether it's one of these teenagers here, or maybe it is a young couple. Maybe it's a young adult who you see something that they have and you say, you know what, I was there, I could help them. I loved hearing some of the stories from our class over the summer, the intergenerational class, hearing one of the adults talk about in small groups saying, it was so cool because I heard one of the teenagers say a story about how he was influenced by the Spirit, and that's what happened to me. And I was able to talk to him and say, hey, I've been there. That's not what we're saying. Is when you see something like that, say, hey, I've been there. Let me tell you about that. And then finally, everyone needs a Barnabas. If you look in Scripture, Barnabas is known for being the one who's the encourager. He's the friend who comes along. He's the first one to give Paul credit when everyone still sees him as Saul. He's the one that says, no, let's give him a shot. Barnabas is the one that we all want in our life. That one who's going through life the same as us is in the trenches and says, hey, we got this. You're doing great. And just as much, we need to be that for someone else. Someone who's encouraging and lifting people up. I think it's so important to pay attention to all the relationships God has put in our lives. Whether it's our spouse, our kids, our neighbors, our friends, coworkers, I don't think there's any coincidence that God chose the people that you're around. I think ultimately, I love what Mary Jo read for us at the beginning. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I love that. Ultimately, we have this entire community to be there for us, whether we're happy, we're sad, or need prayers. I love reading the one another verses, how they pull us together Or as Chris was saying, how they unite us, that we can use each of our different gifts to bless each other. That's the beauty of the relationships that we have. I can remember the times that I've been at my lowest, that I love the fact that I have people in my life that all I have to do is send them a text and say, please pray. No questions asked, they start praying. I love that we have those people in our lives. People that are excited for us when things go wrong. And ultimately, well, like a book I've been reading, people that are willing to enter into our sorrow with us. Not to fix it, just to be with us. I think that's the beauty of the gospel. That's what Jesus did. It wasn't that he tried to just enter, throw himself into his lives. He just slowly entered into the happiness, the joy, the sorrow, the pain, and was present in these people's lives, willing to come to them as they were and meet them where they were at. Ultimately, all of this is because, as Ecclesiastes says, two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up, but pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they can keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. It's interesting that the very first problem that we ever see in the Bible is God looking at Adam and saying, it is not good for man to be alone. We were never meant to do the life alone. In the same way God has the Trinity, he made us for community. No matter what type of community that is, like I love that. God understood that we would all be different. Some of us with big families, some of us with small families, some of us with no family. And God said, that's okay, because I've got a family that's bigger than all of that. I've got a community that will take all that and meet you where you're at. That's what we're called to today. That's what we're living in this moment. And so my challenge for you, as praise team, you can come on up. My challenge for you today is to be reminded, can you add one more to that community? Because in the same way we have the relationships here in front of us that, you know, maybe you're sitting here going, man, you know, I haven't reached out to that person in a while. I need to see how they're doing. Man, I loved how many babies we had up front. That was awesome. Man, I loved that so-and-so has been praying for me. I need to go back and ask them to pray about this. In that same way, we need to also be reaching out and go, who has God put in our lives, in the community around us, that we can offer this same community to? Who is it that needs that hope, that love, that friend, that we could offer that to?